welcome you to this worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls. We are joined today by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Netney, as our liturgist, and by our musical director, Dave Valerio. If you are a visitor today, we hope that you will be with us often. Wayne, would you please call us to worship?
I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. God's greatness is unsearchable. Come, let us worship the greatness of our God. Gracious God, we bow before you, for you are our heavenly creator, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. We pray that, according to the riches of your glory, you will grant that we may be strengthened in our inner being with power through your Holy Spirit, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Just a few announcements I'd like to make at this time. The meeting of those who are interested in the future of our church has been rescheduled to be on Zoom this coming Thursday, August 20th at 7 p.m. You may use the same Zoom credentials to enter the meeting. I'm pleased that we'll once again be able to welcome Reverend Don Remick. He's one of the conference ministers of the Southern New England Conference of the United Church of Christ. He's going to come and try to help us with next steps, especially during this pandemic. And he's going to help us to reimagine our future as a church. At this time, I'd like to ask Cheryl Rogers, did I see her on? Cheryl, are you here? I don't think I saw her come on.
I didn't see her either.
And I don't think Martha is here as well. Just very quickly, the mission committee is going to try to do the, I've forgotten what they call it, the SACs that we do every fall for children in foster care. So just we'll keep you informed of that, and Kathy will have something in the triad coming up. All right, so Sherilyn Hepburn would like to say a few words for the Sunday school.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Just wanted to share some information regarding Sunday school. The Christian Education Committee met earlier this month to discuss the plans for the fall, and I'm pleased to announce that we are going to resume Sunday school classes in September, and we're actually going to try virtual Sunday school classes via Zoom. We have a new curriculum that I'm really excited for us to be using that includes videos with Bible stories and music. That we'll be using as part of the class along with some other activities. This week, we're hoping to get a email out to all families with Sunday school age kids with a short survey that will help us plan for September. So if you're one of those families, just keep a lookout in your email for that survey, and we would ask that you complete it as soon as possible so that we can kind of finalize our plans for September. And then as we finalize details, we'll have more information to share with you in the coming weeks. So thank you.
Great. I think I'm up next.
You are.
So we're going to sing our first hymn of the day together. And once again, leave yourself muted and you'll be singing from your home. But we do have the lyrics posted. If you go down to the bottom of the screen where the little chat button is, you can see them posted there. Or you should have received an email from Kathy. So let's all sing together. O God, our help in ages past.
Mr. Dave. This is the time we share our celebrations. I'd like to first of all thank Pastor Glenn for filling in these past two Sundays of my vacation. We do have congratulations to give to Donna and Bob Shum on the birth of their third great-grandchild this past week, a little girl by the name of Natalie May. There was a private Masonic service of celebration for the life of Nikolai Lomov held a week ago Friday evening, and it was my honor to be present, and I have assured the family that we will have a celebration of his life when we are able to get back together once again. If you would like to unmute yourselves and add some other celebrations, I'd be glad to listen to them.
Good morning. I signed in a little late, but I saw that Tammy is here.
She is with Eric.
So that's wonderful for her. And I also have a celebration and maybe a concern. Darren, Jenna, and Owen are flying back from Singapore at the end of the month. Unfortunately, they're going to Houston, which doesn't thrill the mom. But Dave and I are thinking of doing a major road trip down to Houston so we can meet our new grandson. And anyway, congratulations, Eric, and having your mom.
Thank you. Yeah, just to add on to that. So a lot of you, I told my mom and my brother and sister are up visiting this weekend. So this is their first time getting to meet Cora and first time I've seen them since December. So it's a nice time to be together. So
A little music.
That's awesome.
We're not watching that, Wayne.
Can you throw together a little trio there?
Well, there's four. There's a quartet.
Quartet. Okay. All right. Very good. Well, that's great. Any other celebrations?
I have one. Most of you know Kevin Porio. I don't know if you knew that he was in quite a serious bicycle accident on Mother's Day.
No.
He had some serious head injuries, but he came back to the Y Friday, and he's doing good. But he was quite seriously hurt. He was in the hospital for several days. He landed on his head. He told me, thank God I've got a hard head, because he cracked his skull. It was that serious. But he is doing good and he's back.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Kevin Poria, who's our town clerk.
Mm-hmm.
Our town clerk and also the husband of Betty Poria. Yeah. Yeah, thank you for that. I had no idea. I hadn't heard that. Okay, that's a concern more than a celebration, but you made it into a celebration because he's certainly doing better now. Any other celebrations? If not, let's turn to the concerns we have as a church family. These are the people for whom we continue to pray. Aaron, Eric, and Cora, they're doing better and better. Maybe we'll just remove them from this list after this, since Cora's really doing so very well. We've also been praying for Steve, Tayo. He had a work accident. For Ken, for Lee, for Tyler, for Wade, for Brigitte, for Cher, for Jen, for Marie, for Chad, and Doris, and Lee. Also, Wayne is doing very well after his knee replacement. Maybe we can take you off of this list, Wayne, until October, when we'll do it all over again.
Absolutely, Deb, and then we can recycle.
Yeah, that's fine. And then Deb, who is doing better after she has been hospitalized in Boston, but is still having some difficulties with her breathing. I also received word that Janice had shoulder surgery, and then her husband Dennis had to go to the hospital and had a serious infection in his spine. So I'm not sure. Janice, I know, is home. I'm not sure if Dennis has made it home or not yet. We also pray for Ed and Janet. They are in different places at this point. Ed is at the Maples in quarantine, and because he hasn't been there 14 days yet. And his wife, Janet, is now at Beth Israel Hospital and will be undergoing a procedure, they hope, on Tuesday. For those who are in the nursing homes, Jackie Glass, we'll use the last name here, did have a fall, and she is back at the Maples now. She spent some time at the Sturdy Hospital. And Bud. And we also pray for Bud's wife, Carol. So we will continue to pray for all of these people who are suffering and for all of those who are suffering from COVID-19. We pray for the first responders who still face great difficulties because of this pandemic. We pray for those who suffer from addictions. We pray for our government officials who are working hard to protect us. And as always, we pray for our nation and our communities as we face these difficult days together. So please join with me in a moment of prayer, and then there will be a time of silence when you may add any names that you wish to add to our list. Let us pray. Gracious God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and Jesus, and our God, we turn to you in troubled times. Pandemics, racial inequality, bigotry, mentally unstable people striking out when they're not able to find the proper help. Violent acts of nature that some of us are beginning to recognize may be a result of our own lifestyles. So many things are happening, and yet we feel like we are at a standstill. We become frustrated, anxious, and fearful. We want to help. We want to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. We want to help, but are often overwhelmed by the amount of need in our own circumstances, let alone take on the problems of our community, our nation, and the world. We live, unfortunately, among a multitude of fearful people, Lord, and we sometimes become fearful too. Encourage us, we pray, to believe what we say we believe, to put our trust not only in our words, but in our bodies and souls, to find in your Son, Jesus Christ, not simply someone who is nice enough for our children to become acquainted with, but also who is strong enough to be our Lord and Savior, who will walk with us in our fears, and in the end will judge us. Renew us in the belief that you are in control of all times and things. Help us never to forget to pray for all of those who are ill, who face great difficulties in their lives, who are feeling hopeless. Grant your healing presence upon all of those whom we have mentioned this morning, and listen to the names of others we now mention in your presence. If you would like to unmute yourself and speak out a name, we will wait for that.
Helene, Joan,
hear these prayers and supplications that we lift up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Scripture reading from today is from the book of Exodus, book chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I can never read this without thinking of the movie The Ten Commandments. So in my mind, it's Yul Brynner and Charlton Heston that occupy these roles. In the first chapter of Exodus, we learn that Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, where the Hebrews had been enslaved, had issued an edict that all the boy babies of Hebrew slaves should be put to death, because the Hebrew slaves had increased to a number where Pharaoh was afraid that they might rebel against him and overturn his governing power. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that the son was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in and placed it among the reeds in the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses, because, she said, "I drew him out of the river." May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. Every 3 years or so, the lectionary, which is a discipline of reading the scriptures devised by biblical scholars, returns us to the roots of our faith. We know the Christian faith grew out of the great witness of the Jewish faith to the concept of one God instead of many gods, as all other peoples believed in that time. And that faith also presented an incredible concept that God would enter into a covenant, an agreement with these early Hebrews, and instruct them in their laws, their morals, and their behavior. We believe that same God still rules us with an increased understanding of that covenant revealed through Jesus Christ, whom we call as our Lord and Savior. There was a very dirty little boy, and he came in from playing in the yard and asked his mother, "Who am I?" And ready to play that game, she said, "I don't know, who are you?" And the boy said, Wow, Mrs. Johnson was right. She said I was so dirty my own mother wouldn't recognize me. Well, just like our own parents, God does not forget us as his children. Sometimes God makes his presence known through our own parents. At least that's what's happening in the reading for today. Does it seem odd to you? Her name isn't even mentioned in this story. Who am I talking about? The mother of Moses. Her name is not in the book of Exodus. We have to look elsewhere to find her name. And where we find it is in the book of Numbers, which is basically means a counting of all of the people of Israel. It's a census. It's a genealogy, if you wish, So the Moses of genealogy in the book of Numbers says, the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt. And she bore to Amram, Aaron, Moses, and their sister Miriam. So Jochebed is really a very important person in the Bible because of what she did in these 10 little verses. Let's review a little bit of biblical history. Let's start with Joseph. Remember, the favorite son of Jacob, the coat of many colors that led to jealousy among his 11 brothers, leading them to fake his death and selling him into slavery in Egypt. Eventually, he became the prime minister of Egypt because he was able to interpret the terrible dreams that Pharaoh was having. He correctly saw in the dreams that a famine was coming and suggested that Pharaoh needed to begin to save some of Egypt's abundant crops in order to meet them out when the famine struck. Joseph managed to get Egypt through a worldwide famine by being placed in charge of the granaries. He eventually brought his father, his brothers, to Egypt to settle and flourish there, while many others starved to death in their homeland of Canaan. But generations went by, and both Joseph and the Pharaoh died. And now there was a new Pharaoh, and he noticed one day that the Hebrew people were growing at an alarming rate, so much so that they outnumbered the Egyptians. So Pharaoh devised a cunning plan. Slowly but surely, Pharaoh began to subjugate the Hebrew people by assigning them more and more strenuous and arduous tasks and putting taskmasters over them until they were finally reduced to nothing more than slaves. Pharaoh thought that somehow that would cause them not to reproduce quite as much. But as it turned out, the more they were oppressed, the more they reproduced. Pharaoh was starting to get really worried. So he solicited the help of the Hebrew midwives and told them to kill every male child that was born to a Hebrew slave. But it turns out the midwives feared and were more faithful to their God than to Pharaoh, and they would not do it. And whenever they were confronted, they said that, well, the Hebrew women were stronger than the Egyptian women, and they just had their babies before the midwives even knew anything about it, and they couldn't locate them. Pharaoh was both angry and frightened, and he ordered that every Hebrew boy under the age of two be thrown into the Nile, and other boy babies soon to be born would face the same fate the minute they were born. Jochebed gave birth to a son and did what any mother would do. She found a way to protect her son. She built a little ark of papyrus reeds and covered it with tar so that it wouldn't sink, and then she and Moses' sister watched over the baby as it floated down the Nile. Just before Pharaoh's own daughter came to the Nile to bathe, the baby was pushed safely into some reeds where he could be found. Pharaoh's daughter found the baby, recognized him as a Hebrew child, but decided she was going to raise him herself. Now, it seems a bit improbable, but Moses' sister Miriam approaches the princess and offers to find a Hebrew woman to nurse the newborn baby. And of course, she runs to get her own mother, Jochebed, Moses' mother, who is allowed to become the baby's nurse and raise him. I suspect that she did a lot more than simply nurse the child. I'm sure she took every opportunity to whisper quietly the stories of the Hebrew people in his ear. Why did she do that? She did it because parents will do almost anything to make sure their children are safe. Jochebed saved her baby and set in motion the means by which God would save the world. One huge act of courage and faith. From Moses and through Moses, the Hebrew children were set free from slavery in Egypt. They received God's promises of faithfulness and something inconceivable, that covenant, promises that if they obeyed God's purposes, God would always be there with them. So this is the very beginning of the Jewish faith and our faith as well. From Moses' faithfulness and through the same lineage as Moses came descendants who would face a similar decision. Another young couple would bear a child and have to flee back to Egypt to save the life of their newborn son from another king, King Herod, who issued a similar edict to kill all the boy babies under the age of two because of the prophecy that a new king had been born in Bethlehem. And so in so many ways, it was the same motivation that moved the Pharaoh so many years ago. But God's purposes for us cannot be derailed by human fear and corruption when faced by the fearlessness of a mother or a father for their child. And so the covenant begins and cannot be thwarted by human schemes and plots. This is a story that illustrates the fact that God's will is going to be done, no matter what. It's a story about an old Methodist bishop named Fisk. It was 1896, and Bishop Fisk went with two of his friends hunting in northern Maine. One of his friends was a geologist, and the other was an astronomer. And with them in the forest was an old North Maine guide who had hardly been out of the North Woods of Maine. And like everybody else in Maine in 1896, this old man was a Republican. Now, I'm not being partisan here, believe me. But he was absolutely petrified at the prospect that there might be a Democratic president because William Jennings Bryan was running for the presidency and had the possibility of being elected president of the United States. Well, they were sitting around the campfire one night and the geologist picked up a rock and started talking about its history. It went back a million years when the rock came into being and when the ice age that covered it up and then brought it to the surface again, landed it right in front of them. And when he had finished, the astronomer started talking about the stars and the vast expanses of space. And he talked about how infinitesimally small we are, the Earth is, in comparison to all the other planets in the galaxy. And he waxed on eloquently about the massiveness and the majesty and the grandeur of space. And that old Maine guide had never heard anything like that before. And when they were snuffing out the campfire that night, he scratched his head and said, "Well, if you fellows have been saying, if that's what you're saying and it's true, I don't guess it would be too bad if Bryan were elected president. We need to be reminded now and then of the long view and realize that it really has very little to do with Democrats and Republicans. Here we are over 100 years later. Our country is terribly divided. We are still in the midst of a terrible pandemic. Racial unrest reminds us that we have not done our part to assure the rights of all of God's children. And we have not been kind to God's creation." Looking back to Moses, who lived some 3,500 years ago, we need to be reminded of the long view and that God's will is going to be accomplished eventually. Do we really believe that? Maybe not today, maybe not even this year, but God's purpose is going to prevail. Do we believe in it enough to wait? No matter what the situation is, to wait and trust that God's will be done. And in the meantime, and oh yes, there's the rub, the meantime. In the meantime, as we wait and trust, we pray that God will give us the grace and the strength to wait in patience with meaning. But it can only happen if we truly trust in God. Amen. So let us go forth in the peace of God, and may God's peace be with us now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So this concludes the service, and you're welcome to stay around and have some conversation if you wish. Feel free to unmute yourselves.